January 31st, 2015 is What from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show, Brother Matt. How are you?
Yeah, it's all good.
It's the last day of January. Can you believe it? 1 month already done.
Flying.
We started with Blues Delve and Take 3 alternate, John Coltrane. After that, we had something from our guest.
Yeah, returning to the homeland.
To the homeland. The Matt Chamberlain. With 2012 Memphis Drum Shop Clinic excerpt number 3.
Little Matt Club in the house.
All right. Is that a song title?
No. That's great.
I'm not looking at you like
today's spin cycle.
You're kicking it out pretty wild. With that. You know, Perk does that. He does whole tours where he just shows up at the shit hard centers and shit and starts.
Yeah, a lot of guys do that. A lot of guys do that. It's fun to go check out.
That's how he has a shed in the back, I guess, yeah. All that DW stuff. And anyway, you very good recital.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Brother Matt says, welcome to the homeland, because originally you're here.
Yeah, from San Pedro. Born and raised.
Right. Well, let's go way back. When was that?
Born here in 67.
Okay.
My grandparents moved here in the 40s.
Whoa.
Like after the war.
Whoa. And, from where?
From El Paso.
Oh.
Texas.
Yeah. And my grandfather was in the Navy. So, you know, he was always down at Fort MacArthur. And
that was
over
what brought him here?
Bigger water than the fucking Rio Grande.
Yeah. And my mom, well, she was born in El Paso, but, you know, they moved out right when she was like 2.
Yeah.
And she met a guy who was in the Navy, and they got married.
So my mom did.
Yeah, and had me, and we, you know, grew up in the same block all my life over there on 13th in Cabrillo.
Ah, by the Dotson House.
Yeah, Daniel's Field. Yeah,
Daniel's Field. Boys Club.
Actually, I found out the Dotson House wasn't always there. Mm. It was near where I am. It was 7th and Bandini.
Wow.
And they moved it.
It was used to move house a lot more back then.
Well, this Mueller House.
Yeah.
3 times.
Yeah, because you're in Sunken City.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's right.
So many
Mueller House was like, there was no harbor.
When I
heard there was cliffs, and it was called Front Street.
Yeah.
Now the corner is called Front.
Yeah.
Where Harbor Rock is.
Oh, yeah.
But all that, when they made harbor, they had to move it because everything got torn out.
Then when the Japanese were interned in World War II, a lot of those pads on Terminal Island were moved different places. My great-grandfather had a ranch in Compton, and they
there was a whole town there.
Yeah.
Like 5,000 dudes. And then all the pads got just...
Yeah.
Either moved or flattened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, there must have been a business down there. You know, I went to Mueller House last week.
Oh, yeah.
All these years, and I got in there. They told me they had to cut the house in two, and they moved it with wagons.
Wow.
Man. With wagons?
There must have been a whole racket. When, you know, the Perkoff pad that I lived on, 14th, it was moved from downtown.
Wow.
Before electricity. So when they put it in, they only put in one outlet of pad. Only an outlet of my old pad. I ran my old shit on two. Thanks.
What a trip.
So anyway, so that means for sure Dana and Pedro Hyde. Well, what grade schools were there?
Well, we were just talking about it earlier.
Cabrillo.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I met Trebotic.
And I ain't even from Pedro.
My little buddy. That's where I met my little buddy.
actually Trebotich, but he's the drummer of the Second Man Good People. And Matt Chamberlain here goes way back with you. Second grade?
Man, yeah. We met because we both had the same brown Vans on. You know, I was like, yeah, man, check it. Where'd you get those? Yeah, where'd you get those zapatos? Or, Vato, where'd you get those zapatos?
And, so what did he say?
He's like,
the pad then? Was it Payless?
No, there was actually like a van store like out.
Oh, Vans, that's right.
Remember that store that was
Vans
like
and
out?
Tennis shoes. Mm.
Like all my
I remember the Payless wasn't there on Gaffney. There was a Payless. It was by where that Wiener Schnitzel is on the way to Harbor City.
Yeah.
On Gaffney. Mm. No, Western.
Mm.
Some old dude drove his car through it.
Yeah.
And there was a Kinney Shoes up by Vaughn's. Mm. Some old lady.
Over by Peck Park. Right.
Part, it was called Park Plaza, Park Western. And that's where me and Boone grew up.
Yeah, that's...
North part of Peter. That's why we didn't go to Dotson. I mean, we went to Dotson, we didn't go to Dana.
Okay.
Because we're in that north part. And some old dude drove his fucking car through that window. You got a shoe store in Peter with big windows. Watch out. Older cats in their cars. Okay, so, wow.
Yeah.
Now, what's your first music memory?
Well, my dad was a drummer.
Oh, shit.
And wow. I remember going into our backyard, into the garage.
Not just a sailor, but a Drummond sailor.
Yeah, Drummond sailor. And he had a band, and I remember being back there in my...
You're in Pedro.
Yeah. And I was in my diapers back there, and I just thought it was the coolest thing.
And they packed there? At the pad?
Yeah.
Bitch. Yeah, very
so you
cool.
had music in your life, yeah, as a baby.
And on my block, there were all these bands. Like, there were all these bands. I remember there was a band that rehearsed down on Gaffey.
And 13th.
Yeah.
That was, you know who that was? Titanic,
yeah.
I remember that shit.
The
and
dude had a band with the Tarkus.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, and I remember they used to let me in there. Every once in a while, I'd beg them to let me in to go check them out.
It was just a little garage.
Yeah. I love that place.
There's a Subway. And
there was like an A&W root beer on the corner.
Oh, that was on the other side. Right. Yeah. That turned into Del Gordo's or something, right? That Dorita pad.
Yep.
You remember the A&W?
I remember that.
Old school.
Because it was long. With just a roof.
Yep.
Thing, and you come in.
I live like on the other side of that block.
Okay. You know who lives there now? Skipper Jeff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Skipper Jeff's got a fucking pad, and a dude was a sailor. He did it up. It's got portholes and shit. It's all done up like a boat inside.
Yeah.
Right down my radio show, it's there. I wonder how close he was to you because you were right in that same neighborhood.
Yeah, man.
And so I was a short walk for you to junior high. Even high school, even in grade school.
Yeah, I could leave on the first bell and get there by the tardy bell, you know.
Right, it's like 10 minutes,
it's like right across the street.
And then boys club.
Oh, man.
That's boys and girls club, which is only
the wood shop. I used to go make shit in the wood shop.
Right.
There was a guy that had the photography studio. I spent hours in there developing pictures. That was such a great place, man.
Yeah,
that's still there, right?
Yeah, stuff is down, production stuff in there.
Right. Projects for young people. That's bitching.
I love that.
So you, especially in the summertime, so you had music early in your life. Do you remember? So you're hearing live music, so I don't even have to ask about records or stuff. Like the first record you bought, can you remember that?
Well, my older cousins always had the records.
All right.
So I go hang out with them, and they'd just be playing. I remember the first time they played me 2112. Freaked me out, you know, Rush 2112.
Oh, yeah. That Tony brought me to that gig and I talked.
I was like 12 years old and I was like, what is this? And
played the Long Beach Arena with that. It's one big song. Well, I don't think it's a whole album, but it's a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's long.
Yeah. And they're on the back of the cover with kimonos. Yeah. And they're wearing kimonos on the back cover and the dude singing like a witch. I thought he was a witch.
Yeah, my voice. I thought he was kind of like the Marriott. The Humble Pie, Robert Plant.
Yeah.
Steve Marriott. Great cat, Steve Marriott. Little guy.
That guy was
look
amazing.
At the pictures now. Rick Derringer, too. The guitars are so fucking big. Guy. Yeah. It's
like, some of the Tasman Sea.
Okay, so... so, getting back... So it's natural you would have got into fucking drums. Your pop turns you on to drums. There's a kid at the house, right? At the pad.
Oh, man. And there were people in my neighborhood. I actually found all the people in my neighborhood that had drum kits because we couldn't afford to buy one. So I just bug people. And, you know, like, Trobotic used to have one. And I'd be like, dude, come on, let me play your drum kit.
Forever.
Yeah. No, I'd just go over to their house and just play on it.
Oh, in their pad.
Like, they wouldn't let me, you know.
That's like clone.
And
Tony used to, like, find these fucking old-ass guitars. Remember Recycler?
Yeah, I remember Recycler.
There was no money. You just go there to play. Like, for an hour. Well, you know, almost, but...
Uh-huh.
You know, almost there, but not right. Thanks.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so you'd, like, jam in a chairs pad.
Chairs pad. There was a guy named Carl down the street.
His brother played, he told me. So that's how he got into music.
His brother was a guitar player. I used to watch them rehearse. Like, they would play, like, you know, Frankenstein. And they, you know, like, they played all the covers.
If you ever have a gig and you jam in a garage, is it still rehearsing?
I don't know.
For the one that's going to come. God, I just always hated that word. They always, like, oh, we're beyond practice. We're up there with the actors.
We're rehearsing.
Yeah, we're rehearsing.
They should remove the re from it and just call it hearsing.
So when did you get your... Well, let's listen to some music.
All right.
No, honey, she said. I'd rather not squat on your face just yet. I'm still premenstrual. Let's wait an hour or two. I can feel it. Why waste a good early flow?
Still tied off at the bollards. Criminy.
Don't abandoned mansion, drinking Mekong ale. Across from the yellow palace, with a roof like dragon scales.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Brother Matt yeah, Chamberlain here.
Matt Club.
Giving us the history lesson, Righteous. We heard, start everything off with a spiel gusher doing premenstrual. That's for you.
All right.
And something new from Boris Heavy Rain. Zero from El Finan's last album. Kilka with the E-Bay. Oh, it's Bye. B-Y-E backwards. Uh-huh. Yeah. How would you pronounce it? Kyoka, and I'm doing the bass there. I'm doing a spiel on the next one, a guy from Kyoka's from Tokyo, no, Kanazawa, but she lives in Berlin, and this guy, Ryan from Dearness, lives in Glasgow, and Stationary Waves, I had to just make up some nautical spiel on the fly, what do you call that, ambient? And, I'm trying to stretch.
Yeah.
And Gigi Band, that's Matt. That's a Boston cat with a lady from Korea doing Stegosaurus carved into Angkor Wat, which ain't me. It's only got one T. Wat is a temple in Karen. In fact, one of the most incredible ones, right? It's almost floating because it's all swamp there. The cats who built it like 700 years ago. Bullets or Balloons, brand new album. What Circumcision? I asked myself. The Go Team, brand new. The Scene Between. Deerhoof, their latest album. I think it's called Isla Bonita.
Oh, cool.
Madonna.
Yeah, Madonna did a Pedro song.
Right, up where you teach.
Yeah.
My proc pad is. Last Fad, and then finally something new from Skopje. You been there, Macedonia?
No.
A band called Bernays Propaganda with Makedonski song. They're kind of in the Slav Balkan family there. They're in the most south one by Greece. And there's a cat there named Vasco. A cool cat I got to meet last year.
Some crazy music from there, man.
Huh?
There's some crazy music from that part of the world.
You know why? Because there's a lot of cultures coming up.
Yeah, you got the Middle East.
And plus Oompa. Just a lot of things colliding. There's a band from Seattle. You spend some time there. They're called Culture Shock.
I know those cats, yeah.
And they get into that. They're kind of rock in part, but
they're
you can
awesome.
Hear some influence, yeah.
Yeah.
So back to the story. You're playing drums at other people's pads.
Yeah, playing drums.
And Pop, he's playing drums, but in other parts, so you got to play in other people's pads. When did you get the first drum set?
It took a while, man. I started borrowing stuff from Dan in junior high band room.
Okay, so junior high.
Like, you know, the bass drum I took home and... but
appropriated.
Yeah. Luckily, they had a band program, so I was able to.
You got into the school of music.
Yeah. And
they threw me out after 10 years. His name was Mr. Luna. He says you try hard a lot, but
that's cool. Well,
in front of the whole class.
Oh man.
Yeah, I know. I was about this high. It was easy to get out the crack in the bottom of the hatch because it's not that big.
I remember when I was at Dana, there was a guy named Mr. Morgan who was like this total hippie surfer dude.
Do you remember him from that?
No, we had Mr. Neil.
There was Mr. Morgan. Was Mr. Maybe it was Mr. Neil. Was it after...
He was there for a long time.
It's like after Mr. Carter?
There was a Mr. Carter there.
It was like an older African-American man that was a teacher. But Mr. Morgan, from what I remember, was like this crazy hippie guy. And he'd... just lose his shit every once in a while and like throw an eraser at people's head and, like
whoa.
You know
corporal way.
But I remember going up, you know, I was playing basketball at the Dana Junior High basketball area, and I heard drums and I was like, what is this, you know, it sounds incredible. So I walked up the hill there to Pedro High and the drum line was rehearsing. And
a
it freaked me out. Yeah. I couldn't believe those snare drum guys were doing all this shit.
Dana didn't have a marching band?
It wasn't like that. I mean, like these guys were doing like...
Because I saw one at the Christmas parade.
Yeah, like Dana. I saw them Thursday night. They're awesome.
I think they lifted the game up.
Yeah, they
but
got
the Dana Junior
now.
High marching band back then was like, you know, all the beats were like...
I went to high school. Hawaii 5-0.
Oh right. Yeah.
I mean, every fucking band did Hawaii 5-0, except the brothers downtown started getting in some good beats and stuff. But it was Hawaii 5-0 and Frankenstein.
Copacabana.
And Banny Junior High used to have like the funkiest marching band. Remember them?
Washington, Fremont, and Watts. Those, because we were Marine League. We were playing some bad schools, man.
Man.
In those days. Well, anyway, so you're hearing this.
And it just, I saw it and I was like, that's incredible. I want to learn how to do that. And I can do that without having a drum kit. I just needed a practice pad.
Yeah, okay.
I just needed a practice pad. So I got like the thing of all the rudiments, and I just shedded it in my little backyard shed. I was in the shed.
And but what about at school? Did you got in the program?
I got in the program, but it was still all just hand stuff. They didn't have a drum kit.
Okay.
And so eventually I begged my mom to let me borrow a credit card, and I went out with Trebotic. We went out to the Guitar Center in Hollywood. Remember that one?
It's still there.
Well, the old one across the street.
Across the street from the hotel with the bear, the sleeping bear.
Yeah. And I remember that day, man, I got there, and Rick James was there in his Bentley with his girlfriend. Who was that actress he was dating?
Exorcist Lady.
Yeah, Exorcist Lady. And I was like, what's going on? And I bought a ride cymbal and a Tama Superstar drum kit with my mom's credit card. And I took it home, put it in our little trailer in our backyard, and just started, like, you know, learning records.
Where did you play? In your room?
Just in my little room. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and then I joined a band with Paul Erlandson, who is the younger brother of Eric Erlandson, you know, the guitar player from Hole.
Looks like Greg Ginn.
Yeah. We had this
prog. It's always amazed me how Eric looks just like Greg Ginn.
Yeah.
He's kind of a studio guy now, right, or something.
I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's playing with
Hole. I think his brother.
Oh, yeah. He designs software for Pro Tools or something. I think he.
All right.
He was at that gig.
Eric told me his brother had a studio or something.
Yeah. He was at that gig we played with George Clinton.
You were. You know, I used to see Eric like at every fucking gig they'd go to. It was like, man, like that was his gig. Going to gigs.
Yeah, so...
I wasn't seeing him playing. I was seeing him... I swear, I saw him at every gig. And I didn't go to a lot of gigs, but... Wow. He was always there. And I found out he was a Pedro guy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he lived, like, right off of Western. What is it? What did you call it? Rancho? Is it Rancho San Pedro?
Oh, RPV, yeah. Rancho
Palos Verdes. That's where they live.
That's
what it is now. And we'd rehearse over there, and we'd have parties and invite people over.
That's where Dotson is.
Yeah, like over by Dotson.
Yeah, they got annexed to RPV. In the old days, it was just unincorporated county land.
Yeah, it was kind of by the cemetery, the big cemetery.
Where the Nina Housing was. That's where I came to California.
Oh, wow.
Now it's all knocked down. They're putting up this Point Verde.
Huh.
Yeah, like 800 pounds. Well, he wanted what? 3,500?
800 all kinds. They just scaled it down.
Because, you know, there's not enough traffic. We got to make sure.
Right.
I heard there's plans to get rid of RSP. And
yeah, they're having some...
Where are they going to push the people?
Push them back.
Harbor Hills?
Yeah.
Who knows,
they don't
man.
Want
anyway, anyway. I'm going to get bummed out. So you're playing with Paul. Does the band have a name?
Oh, yeah, we were called Simpsons Rule.
Simpsons Rule.
And we played prog, like we were into Genesis and all
so
this stuff.
So you copied records. Were you writing songs?
And we wrote songs, and we played a party at the house there, and, like, nobody was into it, so they all left and went way out in the backyard. And that's when I knew that I was doing something wrong, because all the chicks were, like, outside in the backyard.
And everybody away.
And, you know, we just...
Blew everybody out.
We just had, like, one dude, one, you know, ponytail guy standing there, like, digging it with a Genesis T-shirt on. Yeah. So I was like, man, something's not right about this. I got to play some grooves or something, because... I don't want to be playing for a bunch of...
But in those days, I remember that was big music.
But
actually, it was too hard for us to figure out. But I remember, you know, Dirk, and he's from the Hill and stuff, and he said, yeah, we knew dudes who could play all of Topographical Ocean or whatever.
Yeah, we used to try to learn all that shit. Like the Lamb
Rush. That was an accomplishment.
It was crazy music.
That's why the punk scene blew me away. Like, nobody cared if you knew that. But if you knew how to play I Want to Be Your Dog, I'm in.
or that first King Crimson record with Adrian Belew, you know, Discipline. I remember that was a big one. Remember that?
The album? I thought it was...
Well, the one with Adrian Belew. Oh,
that's when I got
of the Crimson
Deep Blue's album come.
Yeah.
Album
remember, we recorded something at that studio.
Hey, you know, now I know what album you're talking about. Dee Boone painted that cover.
It had like a Celtic knot on it.
Yeah.
Or a mandala.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
And it's on purple or something.
Yeah. It's a reddish kind of.
Yeah, Dee Boone painted that.
Wow.
Brother Mass got it.
What a trip.
Yeah, it's bitching. Now, but, well, Crimson I know is the with Greg Lake singing. And
yeah, yeah, like 21st Century Schizoid Man and all that. Yeah, that's a great... I love that.
Okay, so... Well, that's kind of proggy, but...
But, you know, Genesis I lived...
ended up selling a lot of pop songs later.
Yeah, yeah, they did, right?
I wanted to get out of that. So, but that means looking for other dudes, other band.
Yeah, well, and at the same time, around that time, I was in high school, and there was the whole pressure to go to college and stuff. And yeah, so yeah. I learned that I could go to a music school. So I started applying for different, you know, colleges, and I got accepted at North Texas State University. For music.
Denton?
It's in Denton, yeah.
I got to play there, and they told me that was the big music school.
Yeah, yeah. And so
just north of Dallas.
They gave me, like, a full-on scholarship. Like, you know, I just... So after I graduated from high school in 85, I hopped in my Volkswagen bus and just drove out there. They put me up in a dorm and, you know, just started going to school, and they kicked my ass. Man, there's
a lot of
so many
and a lot of
and just so many great players, man.
And yeah, the competition, the skill level.
And that's where I met Mike Dillon. You know Mike Dillon, the Vibes player. He played.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We played at Deep Piazza with him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. And so we've been playing music
shit,
together.
Shit, on my birthday.
Yeah, on your fuck. On your.
So it was a month ago. Yeah. My 57th.
On your 25th birthday, right?
My 25th birthday.
Yeah, so I lived out there and discovered the whole Dallas Deep Ellum scene. Like, that was the time... Because
cool.
I ended up...
That's when it started, I remember.
Like, mid-80s. There was, like, there was the Prophet Bar and Theater Gallery. I saw Bad Brains there and the Butthole Surfers and...
Were you there? Kid. What, 85, so maybe there's no more Twilight Room, AAA Rant.
No, that was...
Comers.
Yep. And there was Club Clearview.
But that's more Deep Ellum. Before the Deep Ellum, there actually was a little thing on Commerce.
Oh, no, I remember that.
It was one of Ruby's old pads.
Oh, what a trip.
Yeah, so, that's where we first played Minuteman and first... I think it was the same pad, but it was different names. And you had to bring the shit up through wooden round stairs. So it was and
there
also had a hatch by the stage. That went to nothing. Yeah, can you believe that? Then you would open up and there was like, you know, I guess it was connected to another building at one time.
It's like the Winchester House or something.
Up there. But so you got to see a lot of good shows.
Oh, man, it just, yeah, because, you know, I was 19 years old, living in a different state,
yeah.
And just, you know. And I dropped out of college after a semester because I realized that they were trying to turn everybody into a music teacher. And
yeah.
I just wanted to.
I've heard
be
that
a,
before.
I just wanted to be in a band, play drums, and
yeah, yeah.
And so I moved down to Dallas and lived in this warehouse in the Deep Ellum area.
Okay.
And you could kind of like, you know, figure out how much square footage you wanted, and that's how much you paid for rent. So you know you could do it by the foot.
This
so
was beat part of town, so it was Econo, right?
Oh man, it was yeah, and but man, there's some great clubs, and I got my mind blown and started bands. I just started. Playing music with people. We're just writing stuff and playing
clubs.
You remember
at the end of the first hour, 2015, January 31st. Hold tight for hour two. January 31st, 2015, the second hour of the Watt from B-Bro show.
Thank you. send us to Africa. With more down roads and red as clay roads. Love the mule wagon, let the mill train by. Look at those cabins puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs. Look at those cabins puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs. Tolin' with his chain. Grass back and fill with his arm around the bay. He's about to use English on a lonesome eight ball. Stop short! When he hears what Bucket said, winds up like Babe Ruth, aiming for a Hummer, and bends his fuse stick around Buck's head. Get those damn puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs. Look at us just be puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs, puttin' on dogs. But then rocks on the country road. He laughs with his lawyer, and he winks with his judge. Like a thing up his nose, at the jury in the dark. Wave goodbye to the gals when they send him to the worst game. Had his own way of busting. Look at those cats putting on dogs. Putting on dogs. Look at those Jimmy Fernando putting on dogs. Putting on dogs. Calling for the Batman Buck. Buck saw him coming. Pull his 3240. Got him once in all and twice to the side. Can't be with the gay girl. Like to do in the western. And let the daylight into Buck's back house. Oh, look at old cat putting on dogs. Look at old cat be putting on dogs. Look at old skimmy putting on dogs. Putting on dogs, waiting for the Undertaker wagon in his box back coat and his muddy bridges and a collar high enough to open up. And the girls stop crying when they saw how camping was putting on the dog in the fine wood box. Second line, y'all. You're a rascal, you. Putting on dogs. You're a rascal, you. Putting on dogs. Great God, but you was a man. Great God, but you was a man. Great God, but you was a man.
my longest night under this full moonlight at the brothers. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. I started hour two off with I Left Out, The Freaky Pieces, Allegheny Whitefish, back at Mr. Top. Andrea Belfi, he's a drummer man that I just did a tour with from Italy. He lives in Berlin now. That's called Sin Su Nene Rete, and that's from his solo album. Tell Andrea, great cat. Another drummer man, Ronald Shannon Jackson, that, you know, I've known about him and heard some stuff, but after the Matt Chamberlain here turned me on via an email, some titles, I went and checked it out. A lot of his stuff out, The Red Warrior and all this, and I played for you here, Putting on the Dog. Incredible cat. He just passed away.
Yeah.
I think last year, right?
It's a couple years ago.
Yeah, okay. Incredible man.
Heavy cat, man.
Yeah. Ako Nisam Dobra, Vlasta Popic, great Croatian band.
Mm.
Yeah, happening, young cats. Cycles of Existential Rhyme from Chicano Batman. Got to play with them at Harold's. And Howie Reeve with Continuity. Mm. I just recorded a 7-inch with him. He's a bass man. Mm. He's living in Glasgow. He's from England and plays these basses that are like acoustic guitars.
Mm.
You know, they're not stand up, but they're electric.
Mariachi style?
Kind of. That's a guitar wrong.
Uh-huh.
But the strings are more like a bass guitar. Uh-huh. Those, they got trippy. The way they put the strings on those are trippy. Uh-huh. Pluck them in tubes too.
And there's like six of them, right? There's like six strings on those.
Yeah,
right?
And also they're not high to low. Like some, there's some smaller ones in them.
And the fretboard's like that big. It's like
right.
10 inches
long. No frets really. It's like a violin.
Fretless six-string bass.
It's just plucking in twos also. I got to get into it.
Wow.
You know, I would love to. Some of that shit is wailing. The bass patterns they do.
Yeah.
Also, sousaphone. Tuba shit they do on. You go into, you know, Chow Pad, and they got the Authentica, and man, these dudes are blowing bass lines.
Yeah.
I mean, this is bad.
That is bad.
Anyway, back to the story of Matt Chamberlain on drums. So you're dropping out of the Denton school there and living in Dallas, the Deep Ellum part, seeing a lot of good gigs. You get involved with the music people.
Yeah, started a bunch of bands and was living with this bass player who was in a band, a local band called Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians.
Oh, yeah.
And they got signed. Like, it was a big deal. It's like, oh man, a local band got signed by Geffen Records. So, so they go off to do their record, and the producer fires the drummer. Then they get back from doing their record, and Brad, the bass player, my roommate, he's like, you want to play drums with us? Because, you know, our drummer got fired.
Got
so
scissored, right?
So I joined them, and the record came out. You know, they did really well, and we toured. You know, we went all over the world, and, you know, we're all like 21
Before
years
that,
old.
You hadn't really done that.
I was just playing in clubs around Dallas.
Local gigs in Dallas.
Yeah, and Denton. That was it.
Yeah.
She married Paul Simon, eh?
I remember I introduced him to her by accident, just because I was at the backstage door.
Wow.
And he was like, it was at that club, The Bottom Line, remember, in New York City?
Yeah. Me and Raymond saw Sonny Rollins there.
Oh, wow. But in between sets, Paul Simon walked up to the backstage door, I was standing there, and he's like, hey, I'd like to meet Edie. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, great, come on back. And, you know, he walked back there, he's like, hey, you want to go to my car and smoke a joint and listen to some rough mixes? He's just totally trying to pick up on it. It was crazy, though, because she was 23 and he's like 48 at the time or something. And they're still married. It's incredible. You know, they have three kids. They're obviously happy. So I remember that happened.
Wow. Okay, from that to that, just because this guy got scissored.
Cool. Yeah, it was a drag. But, you know, they're actually together again. As a band with the original drummer, doing gigs in Texas, like in Austin and stuff.
That's good. So what happens after? How long you stay with these guys?
And so we did that record. We did a second record that I played on. We toured, and then we broke up. And then I got offered the gig at Saturday Night Live in the house band because the guitar player was playing with Dylan, with Bob Dylan. We opened up for Bob Dylan.
This was G. Smith.
G. Smith. And so he just said, "Hey, just come to New York. I'll give you this gig if you want to do it." And so I drove. I just, you know, packed up all my shit in Texas and drove up there and did that for a season. Yeah, it was like in the house band for Saturday Night Live. It was the year Wayne's World came out. So, you know, it was a pretty good year for that. But, you know, at the same time, I got called by.
Remember, big era for Saturday Night Live.
Remember that movie Wayne's World with Dana Carvey,
Michael Myers, Chase, and John Belushi.
Yeah.
Michael Myers and the other dude.
Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
And they played like these rock dudes and
cable
goofy
TV show or something. Right?
Yeah. It's a goofy movie.
I'm sorry. There came a period where I didn't watch that anymore. I remember John Belushi and that shit.
Yeah, this was like 91.
I remember 91. Him doing what Aykroyd was. It was called Bad Theater or something. Oh. Belushi's like pushing some kind of like crank kind of thing in a little Geppetto suit. Then later you find out in one of the only books, I got Georgie to read the Miles Davis Convention Troupe autobiography. The other only book I saw Georgie read was Wired. Mm-hmm. Which was like Belushi's story, like all that shit was done on the shit.
Yeah,
it was all choked up. And wow, so I mean, you come from a big touring band to a big TV show, just like that, just because of two referral. I guess you call them referrals.
Yeah, just friends, you know, just like hey, you want to come and play?
Yeah,
it's pretty.
So,
pretty crazy.
How long of that?
I did that show for a year.
Obviously, you had to live there, so
yeah, I moved to New York.
That's a whole adventure.
And I couldn't find a place in the city where I could play my drums and live, so I ended up moving up to Woodstock, and I just drove into town once a week.
Okay.
And so I had this, you know, I rented this house and had a mountain bike trail in my backyard, just mountain bike.
Nice.
Played drums, met this guitar player named David Torn up there. You know David Torn? He's like a experimental guitarist, played with Don Cherry, put out some experimental solo records. Really, really heavy cat. So I hung out with him and learned a lot about, like, he was one of the first guys to do live looping on his guitar. He'd make loops live.
Nels, yeah. Play on yourself.
Yeah.
That does have a voice too.
It was good. It was a good time. But then, after a year of that, I thought, man, I need to move to Seattle. Because at the same time I got that gig, I played with Pearl Jam for a little bit. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
It was their
this
first.
This period.
It was like eight.
What were we talking about?
91.
See, this period, early 90s, huh?
Yeah.
This is when I was on Columbia with Edward and Georgie.
Yeah. And so
we
this
were torn so much, I didn't know there was a punk scene here in Pedro. You know, that Raoul came out of?
Right.
Or even Jer. I didn't know any of it. I was so out of touch with shit. I was torn so much, so I didn't know who was playing with who. But
right.
You went over there.
And so I went
That's
to Seattle.
The other side of the country, though.
Yeah, so I was, you know, I was 22 or something, 23. I didn't care. I just hopped in my car, drove over there, had a friend's sister let me crash out on her floor, and ended up living in Seattle for like 20-something years. You know, I just moved back here a couple years ago.
Oh.
But I started that band up there, Critters Bugging.
I know, that one. You came
Scaric
and played with us in the 90s.
Yeah.
Late 90s.
Yeah. So
when Sacred Ground was at the first place, mm-hmm. Brother Matt.
Yeah. And so started that band, just did a bunch of stuff up there, and then started getting calls to come down here to L.A. to just do sessions, like just be a session musician on records and stuff.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what I've been doing since then. And then, you know, Critters is still going randomly. We still do gigs. We just did some stuff in Seattle and Portland last month. That was fun.
Okay.
Same guy.
Is the keyboard man.
The keyboard man?
Yeah.
Because
I've got to. He played with Les, I think.
Oh, Mike Dillon.
He was in that band, the Frog.
Yeah, the Frog Brigade.
No, but that was the Vibes.
That's what he plays, yeah. And tablas and.
Yeah, but wasn't there was no keyboard guy in that band?
Maybe. Well, in Critters?
Critters Buggy.
No, there was a guy who played sax and keyboard. Yeah, he played
and
like
keyboards.
Yeah, Scarrick.
Because I met him with Les in Frog Brigades or something.
Yeah.
He played a New Year's thing.
Yep.
Well, look, you brought a little machine here, and it's about that time for us to have the incredible privilege of Brother Matt bringing forth the Spin Cycle. So will you jump on board and collaborate with him?
Machine session.
I'll see what I can do with my fingers.
The Matt Club.
Play some drums with my fingers. All right. Hamana, 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 hamana
Hey!
Thank you so much, Brother Matt.
Cool. My fingers are tired. I haven't used my fingers that much in a long time.
What was inspiring? What was driving you to do what you just did?
Well, we just started with that little funky dude doing his little, it wasn't quite yodeling, but whatever he did. And that just started things off.
I got it off.
Stringing them together from there. Okay. Terry Taylor was,
so
I guess.
So it was kind of a domino effect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just push the first one and see how they go.
Matt Chamberlain, what about you in electronic little boxes?
It's a cool device.
Yeah, I was just going through patches trying to see what kind of sounds I could add, but it big was, experiment.
Yeah, and there were some latency things. There were some latency. There were some challenges. Yeah. I enjoyed it much, though. So thank you so much for coming on and
cool sounds.
And being part of a unique creation, Brother Matt Spincycle.
Wow. Thank you. Right. Thank you much. And we got your buddy in the pad now from childhood.
Jerry. You mean the little buddy?
The little buddy from childhood.
The little buddy. Little buddy. We'll put the pants back on.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour. Watch the Pedro Show, January 31st, 2015. Hold tight for hour three. January 31st, 2015. It's the third hour of the Lock from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back.
respostas. E sussurri. O dinheiro que tiro disso é o meu único Deus.
I didn't know I had a life or what it was all about. Till that dark and fateful night that my power went out. I sat there in my living room and though I could not see, I stared at the big black hole where my TV used to be. I missed all the comforting, terrifying things it said. Then something even worse, a thought entered my head. It was just a tiny thought about the way I used to be. But it bounced around those empty walls till it was filling me. So I got up from my easy chair and I walked outside. My neighbors all were in their yards, there was no place to hide. I heard someone called to me, hey, are you okay? I heard myself answer, maybe it's better this way. Then someone said, come over, we're gonna build a fire. Then I was in the circle, I began to feel inspired. We talked of many things, though we hardly knew each other. About a world that lived in peace like sisters and brothers. The lights went on from the power grid like the coming of the dawn. They said we'd love to stay and chat, but our favorite program's on. I saw my life through different eyes, what it could have been. If only I was stronger, if I did not give in. And sometimes when the show is done, the picture's being made. I say, I won't live this way another day. I'm gonna upgrade. Basic cable. Basic cable. Basic cable. It's killing me. Thanks.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with the theme from Doctor Who show by Basho. And then Orange Disaster with First Day After Life. Joe Giardia, Dippers, 2001, Elmo and the Sticks. Basic Cable from Richard Haxton. Remember that word? Is that 100 a month now? Mm. And you're not going to have any commercials. Fuck you guys. There's this band, I was on tour this last one in fall, and they're called They Promised Us Jetpacks. It's a great name.
That's great.
Young people like thought that. That's great. Much respect. Everything Brings Me to You by Rex, and finally Pale Angels, new album, Awful Son. Back here with drummer man Matt Chamberlain, who's kind of told us this whole story. So I want to get into like drum rock. Can you tell me some drummers you like and why? That you've looked up to, and you start from the old days, what do you call this? I look up to you. What do you call it?
Idolizer or
icon?
Or just learn shit, teacher, sensei.
Senseis. Yeah. Well, like you were talking about earlier, Elvin Jones.
Elvin Jones, yeah.
He's a mystery, man, that guy.
Yeah. I'm lucky, Pettibone, I saw him like 20 times live.
I never got to see him.
Wow! Because, you know, he lived in Nagasaki. And he played at Catalina here. That'd be the first gig.
Right.
And, you know, young guys, right? The jazz machine. So it'd be the T-shirt with the brand new iron on. So it'd be all like, of course, Elvin didn't wear that. But all the dudes in the band had big old hard iron on.
They're like big doves or something like that on the shirt.
It's like a baseball team or something.
But, you know, Elvin, he was like Billy Higgins was like this. You know, Pettibone, he turned me on to all this to see these guys.
Yeah.
Who were like tearing it up, like, 40, 50 years ago with the... And the pads are little, right? And, you know, if you won the lotto, they're playing the gig for you. They're looking at you the whole gig.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a few gigs for Elvin. The whole gig, it was like my gig.
That's incredible,
man. Maybe I was just all bourboned up. Well, I do know I was bourboned up. And that's where I learned what bass solos in bebop was for.
Right.
That's when you take the piss.
Take a pee.
Yeah, so Elvin was...
heavy.
And why did you like it?
Well,
did he show you?
Energy, you know, his energy is just insane. And just his phrasing and the way his feel. It's just, you know, you can try playing along to it and you'll never figure it out.
We were talking about a different drummer, the little doc on him. And how he said it was hard for him to get gigs. Remember Ron Carter's at the beginning.
Yeah.
But he says you listen to records before Elvin and after.
Yeah.
And he had his effect. Even though, yeah, people said he had weird time or whatever.
It was so wide. It's like he's like a dot with like a bunch of squiggly lines coming around it. Uh-huh. Like that's what his drumming reminds me of, because there's always the dot in the middle.
Yeah.
Then there's just all this crazy shit going around it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what it reminds me of. But it's so musical.
His daddy was a preacher. His brothers played that. Hey.
Yeah.
What a very musical situation. Train wanted him. He asked him. You join?
Yeah.
But then a guy even looser time if he asked me, Rashid Ali after that.
Then it got way out. And that's when Elvin left, actually, right?
I know. Yeah. I read this thing about throwing the cases on the stage.
Because he didn't want to share the stage with another drummer.
So what about some other stick men?
I mean, you know, there's like all the classic rock guys, you know, that everybody probably grew up listening to,
well,
right?
Me and him played last week in West Hollywood. And I was hearing a little John Bonham.
Yeah, of course. John Bonham is huge.
Yeah.
I'm
a big fan of.
You know, and there was like, you know, like Jerry and I used to listen to like, you know, Rush all the time.
Oh, so you like that guy?
Yeah, we went to, you know, Missing Persons with Terry Bozzio and all that shit. But you can't really apply that kind of drumming to most music unless you're in those bands. You know what I mean? Like, you can be inspired.
Wrote a fucking piece, man.
What's that?
Zappa wrote a fucking piece from that black.
Oh, the Black Page. Yeah. But, you know, like, there's all the groove drummers, like Ziggy from the Meters, and all the cats that play, like, you know, like the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, like Roger Hawkins, the guy who played on the Aretha Franklin records.
Yeah.
And it's just endless. There's so many amazing...
Those guys, Benny Benjamin.
Benny Benjamin, the Motown guys.
What about Stubblefield?
Stubblefield, the James Brown.
No, he still does Mondays, I think, in Ann Arbor.
That's amazing.
He's the most sampled cat. What do you think of stuff like that? Have people asked you to do loops for them?
Yeah, I've done that before, but I think it's sad that he didn't get paid for that. I heard he's the most rad guy. I wish he would have gotten paid for that.
That's why he's still doing Monday Nights.
I know, man. I mean, Jesus. Like the 90s.
No, he gets to do Monday Nights. You know, I think a music guy likes playing too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right about what would we call that, compensating?
Yeah, because, I mean, he was like the one drum loop on pretty much every hip-hop record in the early 90s. I mean, like, they use that for everything, man.
You know, Jim Brown was a drummer.
Jim Brown?
I've seen album covers where there's three trap sets. It doesn't look like they're all three playing, but maybe he jumped on one of them.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know what I mean? So I think he had something to do, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing, like, think about, like, in Grohl's band, you know, I think you're going to get some instruction for this. I haven't seen
we'll be right back. Thank you.
last music for this edition of Wap Pedro Show, Seb and Radix, brand new album, song called Spit. Then from 1974, Practice, I'm not going to use that R word, is Television with Dick Hell on bass doing Marquee Moon. Kind of different version. Did you know Ikey in Long Beach?
No.
He had a heart attack and died in Mexico. He was playing with
Jack White.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he was on the show. He had a band called Free Moral Agents. He played with the Volta guys, too.
Yeah, Mars Volta.
Sweet
keyboards.
Guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he just passed away.
Yeah, in Mexico.
At his hard
tour.
Yeah.
I'm in the hotel room.
It's horrible.
Okay, Worker Bee after that, Friday 13th. Rocking the Town with Offenders. Talk about Texas. Monkey Offender. In old days, or older days, he was one of the wild guys on bass and punk. Maybe like Matt later in another Matt. Mm. What's it called? Ratchet. Make you fair. Actually, more style like Lou Barlow with chords.
Mm-hmm.
Great cat. Passed away a few years ago. Offspring, brother Steve McKay. I'm playing bass there. That was done in Sunset Beach. Who just got annexed to Seal Beach, I think they're Orange County now. And we only exist when we're thought of by Tollum Electric's key and drum overdrive with Sarah Loon. Fuck, wrong name, Tom.
What was the other one? We want jetpacks. We were promised jetpacks.
I just saw that band name on a flyer.
That's good.
We were promised jetpacks. I don't even know what they sound like. Might be, you know, Wave, I don't know.
Cool name.
Hope not. But that is a good name. Like, I don't think they're old dudes because I never heard of them. So young people coming up with that, much respect. You know, you're from the older days and stuff. And
the older
some
days.
Some of those young people asked you about advice in this racket. What would you tell them?
I'd say, well, you know, if you're really inspired to play music all the time, just keep doing it and shit will work out. It always does. You know, everybody freaks out about how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that. If you just keep doing it, it all works out.
So keep on keeping
just
on?
Keep on keeping on, man. You got to. Otherwise, do something else. Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, at least in music.
Yeah, that's why I'm not asking.
Yeah.
I ask every guest I have on the show at the end, I ask them, what's your advice?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, what's a magic potion or something, but you know.
I just think just keep doing
keep
it.
Going at
yeah,
it.
Just keep going at
so,
it.
So sort of like learning skateboard or something. You fall down.
Yeah.
Get back up.
Well, and you'll have an interesting life. Even if it doesn't work out, you still have an interesting life. You have some good stories.
What did Hank say? Hank said, don't quit your job. Right?
Yeah. Take all those and make little fortunes. Make your own edition of fortune.
So you say just persevere.
I just think, yeah, if you're... You know, I'm crazy because I never had a job. I just kept doing it.
You don't consider this a job?
I consider it well.
You don't work at it, huh?
It's you know you definitely work at it, but
you get paid. Don't
but you hopefully job. Well hopefully you get paid. But I you know some people say you should have something to fall back on, but I don't know.
Well, okay, it's different line of work.
It's different for everyone, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, but I would just say generally just keep doing it. It's pretty simple, you know.
You've been doing it so far, and I think that's valid
advice.
I take it to heart.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Yeah, very cool having you here.
Thanks.
Jared, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, good to see you, Jared.
I just got off work.
You said you moved back down here after 20 years.
Yeah, we just got a place out in Hollywood.
Oh, so you ain't in...
Not in Pedro.
You didn't move back here.
I tried to get my wife to move out here.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
She's like...
So you're in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. But welcome back to Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
What a big... Because that's a big loop. We're talking like 25 years, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah,
right? 85? 30,
almost 20?
30,
yeah.
30?
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you left the day after you graduated.
Yeah, I got the hell out of here.
No, that was the story, Jared. You're late. Jackson gave him a fucking scholarship.
I know about that.
Okay.
It's a little funny to get there.
I missed that one. I got that for you.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming aboard. Fucking Cinemasies, and good luck, and righteous fucking beats.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
It's been the January 31st, 2015 edition of Wapa Fever Show. Thanks so much for your always essential aid and abetting, Brother Mass.
Really.
Everybody out there, keep your powder dry. Yeah.